Today's lesson reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. This can be found on page 437 of the New Testament portion of the Bible in the pews. Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 17. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen."
Verse 13. When one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the God.
Shalom and good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. What a joy to be with you today. Thank you, Deaconess Bessie, the staff team, and the 9am community for the gift, a very precious gift, which my family will treasure very much. Thanksgiving to God for the joy and privilege of shepherding this wonderful congregation for the last 5.5 years, serving God's will and purposes. Thank God for His strength. I thank God for His strength, His grace, His wisdom, and His help. Grateful thanks also to members of the 9am community. It has been indeed a joy and privilege to be God's under-shepherd in your midst. Thank you for your kindness, your forbearance in some ways that were lack, your care, your prayers, the spiritual friendships that has been formed. And for some in our midst, where especially when I travel to Vietnam for ministry, you have been always available for my wife and children to help whenever there's a need. I thank all the ministry leaders and all those who serve in all the ministry teams. Indeed, it is a joy to have you to serve God alongside in His kingdom's work all these years. It's a joy to indeed serve God together with you, fulfilling His will and purposes for His church. Thank God for my colleagues, the staff team, for the team ministry we had, the support, the help, and the care. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and your goodness in our life. You are the mighty God, our wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. And right now, Lord, even as we look into your word, Father, we pray that the Spirit of God will take the powerful word of God to touch our hearts, transform us, change us more and more into our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. You are the sovereign God. And today, as we come before your presence, Lord, we, your children, sitting, Lord, at your feet, Lord, you, our God, will teach us your ways. Thank you, Father. Commit this time to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a sermon outline that you will find in the church bulletin. And what I'd like to share this morning is on the theme, Walk Closely with Our Shepherd King. Walk closely with our Shepherd King. I'm so thankful that the songs that Dennis and the music team had chosen today, quite a number of the songs remind us that Jesus is our Savior. And in the sermon series that we had gone through together for almost 3 years, the love story of God's redeeming grace, that we see how from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, in the powerful word of God, we see a common message that indeed Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's why, my friends, we read in Revelation chapter 7, as I ask of you to open up your Bibles to Revelation 7 again, we see in verse 9 how John, the writer of the book of Revelation, wrote this: After this I look, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. My dear friends, God is our Savior. What a joy, what a privilege that you and I have to be sons and daughters of the living God, to have this living Savior walking with us. Indeed, he is our Shepherd King. The Lord is not only our Savior, but we see in Scripture that the Lord is our Shepherd. If we study the whole of Scripture, the shepherd motif is one very clear motif we can find in the Old Testament as well as the New, that God is our shepherd. In my sermon outline, I've listed quite a number of key verses from the Old Testament as well as the New, the Pentateuch, history of Israel, Psalms, the prophets, and in the New, the Gospels, Epistles, and of course, Revelation itself. Let me just pull out a few verses to highlight. In Genesis 48, verse 15, it is written, And Jacob blessed Joseph and said, The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. The psalmist in Psalm 80, verse 1 writes, Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. The prophets, Isaiah 40:11. Isaiah wrote, The Lord God will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Another prophet, Ezekiel 34, verse 12. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I, the Lord God says, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. We turn to the New Testament. In the Gospels, Jesus himself in John chapter 10, verses 11, and also in verse 14, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And again in verse 14, I am the good shepherd, Jesus said, I know my own, and my own know me. The apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, and also chapter 5, verse 4 writes, For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. What a great joy, isn't it, my dear friends, to know that the Lord is our shepherd. And here in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17, we read, For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. What a beautiful verse that we see, the vision that John saw. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne, victory on the throne, will be their shepherd. For he will guide them to springs of living water, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. We know how much tears we have cried, isn't it? All our life. Only we know. But God knows. And what a wonderful promise we have. God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And God, our shepherd, will guide us to springs of living water. Walk closely with our shepherd king. And there are five things I'd like to share this morning as we consider what it means to walk closely with our shepherd king. Firstly, worship. Worship the victorious lamb on the throne. Worship the victorious lamb on the throne. Verse 10, Revelation 7, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the lamb. And verse 12, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Church, worship the victorious Lamb on the throne. But my friends, the worship of God is not just two songs that you and I sing each time we meet. The worship of God has to be in the surrender of our lives. And in all who've gone through the great tribulation, all those clothed in white robes are the ones that worship God with their lives because they died for the gospel, standing for the gospel, because they not only worship God with song, but they worship God with surrender and sacrifice because they have chosen to be true worshipers of the living God. And this, my friends, as we look, read through Revelation, is one of the few several key themes that we'll find in the book of Revelation. True worship of God. True worship of God as in contrast to the false worship of God that the evil one, Satan, always tried to do to draw people away from God. To those who have not yet come to the kingdom, Satan will prevent them very hard to come into God's kingdom. And for those that have come into the kingdom of God, Satan also is working hard to draw them out again of the kingdom. The true worship of God as a compared contrast to the false worship of God. And to the readers of Revelation, it is something that they encounter with so clear reality in their life. Because as this letter written to the readers of Revelation at that time, in the first century of the Roman Empire, idolatry was rampant. There was religious struggle. Imagine a Jewish Christian, a Gentile Christian, a minority group at that time. Surrounding them are all the pagan gods that they can see. The worship of the Roman gods, the worship of the Greek gods, so prevalent in society at that time. Even the Roman emperor was deified and treated as a god. The social clubs that they joined, the business guilds that they are part of, every one of them has a Greek or Roman god as its patron. That's why in Revelation, the message to the seven churches, among the several rebukes and problems that God through John highlighted, I mentioned three this morning. One, that for some, they have lost their first love, their passion for God. Second, for some, they have gone back into idolatry, being pressured by the world. They have drifted away from God. And thirdly, for some, wealth materialism has crept into their lives that have distracted them from God. And I pray, dear friends, even as we consider what it means to walk closely with the Shepherd King, that as we worship the victorious Lamb on the throne, that you and I also can be warned of the message for the churches in Revelation. The seven churches mentioned in Revelation is also a message you and I should heed very carefully. That as we worship God in our life, we are to keep our first love for God. Do not lose your passion, your first love for God. Keep our focus on God. There will be so much distraction in the world. Whether we are young, middle-aged, or elderly, distractions will come to keep us drawing near to God. But we must keep our eyes on the cross. We must keep our eyes on God. Keep our first love. We must decide which master to serve. We must decide which master to serve. Jesus told his disciples, Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he would be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon at the same time. So my friends, worship the victorious Lamb on the throne, not just with song, but also with sacrifice, surrender, commitment, first love for God. Second, let us trust in the sovereignty of the Shepherd King. The sovereignty of God is also a very key theme in the book of Revelation. God, our Shepherd King, is sovereign. We can trust him. He is our creator. He is almighty God. He is the everlasting God, the eternal God. You see in the book of Revelation, even as we see all the different scenes in heaven, even as the apostle John sees the different visions, there is a clear spiritual conflict going on, a clear spiritual battle between God and Satan, good and evil. But we know, my friends, we are assured that the power of God over sin, over death, and over Satan. We sang earlier, isn't it? Oh, death, where is your sting? The plan of God. Praise be to God. Jesus has come, died, resurrected, ascended into heaven, and one day he will return. The judgment of God is sure, but praise be to God. In Revelation, we are told there will be a new Jerusalem. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. And the church of God must persevere. The persecuted, suffering church of God must persevere as the people of God, as we trust in the sovereignty of God. It is so important, isn't it? Trust. In some country that I know, on their dollar sign, they say, in God we trust, but all other people pay cash. In God we trust, but yet, as we look at this particular country where these particular four words are imprinted on the dollar bill, is it really true that in God they trust, as we see what's happening over there? And I would realize that in some days it will come to our shores. But here, the people of God are encouraged to trust in the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The persecuted, suffering church must persevere as the people of God, as they trust in the sovereignty of God. I ask that we see God's sovereign hand in world history. Bishop John Tan, a few weeks ago here at this sanctuary, during confirmation, in his sermon, one of the things he reminded us is that the world will not get better. The depravity of sinful humankind, the decline of moral values, the things that we see happening around the world. But yet we trust in God that His sovereign hand continues to be upon world history. We trust God to see His sovereign hand in our life and in our family. Perhaps for some of us right now, we are going through some painful situations in our life. We may be confused, depressed, unsure, unclear what is ahead. But we learn to say, God, I trust you. Humanly, we may struggle, but spiritually, we can say, God, I trust in your sovereign purpose in my life. He will carry us through the valley. The psalmist who know his God so well in Psalm 46, verse 10, can write this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Praise be to God, my friends. Let us trust in God's sovereignty, the sovereignty of the Shepherd King. Thirdly, may I encourage us to walk closely with our loving Shepherd. Indeed, our Shepherd will guide us into springs of living water. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. May I encourage us to know God, to know our Shepherd deeply, closely, to love our Shepherd dearly, and to walk closely with our loving Shepherd. You know, there was once a competition that invited people who are able to memorize and to recite Psalm 23. And there were many people that participated, one of which is a professional actor who came on stage confident, sure of himself, his posture, and so on, look at the audience, and then he began, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he goes on. Wow, when he finished, everybody pop, you know, clap for him. Well done, superlatively good. Everybody clap for him. And after he sat down, one young man came up. Quiet, gentle, don't seem too confident. And then he opened his mouth. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And he goes on and he finished the psalm. When he finished, no one clapped. No one clapped for this young man. But to many in the audience, many had tears in their eyes. You see, what's the difference between the professional actor who can recite the psalm and this young man who said the same psalm? The first person knows the psalm, but the second person knows the shepherd. And that is the key difference, my dear friends. I had to go away to the U.S. last month for a short sabbatical, as well as to attend a global missions conference together with the bishops and the other mission deans. And I was telling myself, before I leave, I have to try to leave something with my children when I'm apart from them, and especially my young boy, drive him to school every day, captive audience, no choice. So I'll start with, the Lord is mine. And then he'll say, Shepherd, I have everything I want. Then I say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And then so on, you get what I mean? And thank God, within a few weeks, managed to each day, every day, the house to school is about 5 minutes away only. And maybe if you have taken a bus, you have taken half an hour, but... And each night he sleep, I'll just make him go through the whole psalm, because there's something I thought it would be useful to live with him and my two other girls. Indeed, to help them remember and understand and appreciate that the Lord is our shepherd. So my dear friends, may I encourage us, know the shepherd, our loving shepherd. Know and love the shepherd deeply. He indeed is our shepherd. He will grant us rest. He'll provide for us. He'll restore our soul. He will lead us. Even for some of us walking through the valley of the shadow of death, of pain and suffering, we will fear no evil, for God is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. God prepares a table before us in the presence of his enemies. He anoints our head with oil. Our cup overflows. And then in the final verse, what assurance, isn't it? Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So my friends, walk closely with our loving shepherd. Fourthly, we find strength and help in our good shepherd. In verse 15, it is written in Revelation 7, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. What a wonderful, beautiful picture, my friends, we can see, isn't it? God, Almighty God, our loving Father, shelter us with his presence. The psalmist knows God so well, isn't it? Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. If you go to many Christian bookshops, you will find this verse. But I like the continuation of this verse, that ever-present help in trouble, and the psalmist continues, therefore we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear, though the oceans will rage, though storms will come. Therefore, we will not fear. We only need to be still and know that he is God. Strength and help we can find in God. Isn't that what we sang this morning? When we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. The collect for today. So wonderful, isn't it? Oh Lord, the strength. Oh Lord, the strength of all who put their trust in you. There are a few well-known stones in the Bible, of which the Ten Commandments, the two tablets of stone, are well-known. And by the way, Apple don't have the copyright actually, because the first tablet was found in Genesis. The other well-known stone was the one we sang earlier, the stone that covered the tomb, the stone that was rolled away because Jesus had risen. But today, I'd like to point us to one more stone, and this is the only stone that I know that has a name. I know some of us have pets, we give names to our pets. I don't know, my children give names to their soft toys. I don't know how many names they have given to all their soft toys. Imagine three children times how many years of life times how many soft toys. Wow, maybe can buy a computer with all the soft toys. All the names. But there is a stone in the Bible that has the name. You turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. It is written here, 1 Samuel 7, 12. Then Prophet Samuel took a stone, he set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer. The stone is given a name, a memorial stone called Ebenezer, for Prophet Samuel said, Ebenezer meaning till now, the Lord has helped us. You see, up to this point, the Lord has been helping his people, the people of Israel. The Philistines took the ark, but now the ark has been returned. There is the defeat of the Philistines. And Prophet Samuel wanted the people of God to remember. So he set up a memorial stone, calling it Ebenezer, which means, till now, the Lord has helped us. My friends, I pray along your journey of life, you will set up many, many, many Ebenezers. As a young person, as a middle-aged person, as an elderly person, whatever stage in life you are right now, remember the many Ebenezer's in your life and give thanks at each point. We can praise God and say, Lord, Lord, till now, you have been my help. You have been my strength. We need help and strength for our journey as we walk through the valley. As dark clouds come over our life, as storms come in our life at times. And I can think of different areas in our life that are common that we struggle with. Purpose in life. Did we at some point in our life need to ask what really is the true meaning and purpose of life? Perhaps we may have come to a point in our life where we realize that success, possessions, money really give us true meaning and purpose in life. Or may have we gone through some failures and we are despondent, disappointed, and ask God, what next? What is that purpose in life? Perhaps there may be some among us, you have been with us in this church for a while and still finding that purpose. May I invite you, you will find a small postcard in the church bulletin sharing about Alpha course that will be on in July. Talk to any of the pastors here, any of the leaders here, if you are keen. We really like to invite you to come and hear and know what it is about the true meaning of life. There is a nurse, she specializes in palliative care, and she, after years of experience doing palliative care in the hospice, wrote a book. And in her book, she wrote about some of the experiences that she encountered with the caregivers and as well as those who were in the hospice, dying, terminally ill. And the common response that she hears from those who had been going through the process of being terminally ill were about some regrets in their life. And two common regrets that she hears very often is this. Number one, many regretted they had worked too hard at the expense of time with their family. They wished they had spent more time with their family. And the second regret was time with friends. They wished they had spent more time with their friends. How about the struggles at work? Perhaps for some of us going through difficulties, a boss that is demanding, unkind, colleagues, yet perhaps for some unable to quit the job because you know you really need this job to support your family. May you find strength and help in the Lord. How about some of us going through health issues, persistent illness and pain, or we find our bodies weakening day by day? Or perhaps the pain of seeing even our own elderly parents growing old and of ill health. For some, perhaps struggling through marriage, needing to sort out issues, you're finding at this stage in your marriage life, you and your spouse slowly drifting apart. The danger signs are there. I pray you will indeed seek God, find strength and help for your journey. Children, wow, we can talk another sermon about that. Children, some of us going through the pain of bringing up our children. Perhaps for some, having young teenagers in your family and as a parent, you're struggling through how to turn my teenager around, back to God again, back to studies, back to having the right values in life, and you will only know the tears that you cry in the night. Children, the education pressure that they go through, I ask parents here, remember, children are children. Give them a good childhood as best as they can. My wife was just sharing with me what happened when she brought and accompanied our second daughter 3 years ago to KL for a school trip. And the school brought all the children, all the primary four children, to this place at KL called Kidzania. I think we have it now at Sentosa, just started. It's our own Sentosa. But 3 years ago, the primary four children went to Kidzania, and the school leadership, after one experience the previous year, so at the year that our daughter was there, the school leadership decided that only the children can go inside Kidzania, but the parents cannot accompany them. The parents wait outside. You know what happened? Because the year before, the teachers, when having the parents together with the children inside Kidzania, okay, by the way, sorry, Kidzania is a place where children can learn about work and jobs. So perhaps 10-year-old, 9-year-old, they will learn what it means to be a pilot, a doctor, a manager, an administrator, a secretary, a chef, a baker, and you know, all kinds of occupations you can think of. They try to give the children an experience. So what happened in the school trip? The school realized, hey, cannot let the parents come in, because the previous year when the parents went in, all the parents very kanchong, very excited, and all of them went only for a few occupations. I don't need to elaborate, and I think you will know what kind of occupation. It comes, son, this one, you need to try this one. And the joke was this: for my daughter's trip, the parents didn't have to go in, couldn't go in, right? So the parents could try to look at photographs. You know, like all these are commercial in a sense. So professional photographer inside. Can I take a picture? Tick, 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 tick. And then they'll put all the pictures outside, you know, for parents to pick and choose. So this is parent frantically looking for her son. Think about a few hours. Look at the screen. Cannot find the son on the screen. This job don't have, this job, that job don't have. Don't know what happened to the son inside Kidzania. Lost, whatever. Fearful, really fearful. And then finally, the mother saw one boy. Say, looks like my son's watched. Ah. You know why she couldn't recognize the son? You see, all along this mother find that the son cannot study. Always tell the son, yeah, you cannot study one lah. Why like that, you know? So poor boy. And you know which job did the son went for? You see what happened? The son couldn't be found on the screen because he was all covered up. And only his eyes can be seen because he went to be a surgeon. Fantastic, isn't it? Finally, the mother found the son. Wow. The mother who always tell the son he cannot study, later, after many hours of searching, found the son on to be a surgeon. But my point is this: parents, caregivers, grandparents, let our children be children. I know 4 times a year parents are very kanchong, and the 4 times are called CA1, SA1, CA2, and SA2. I had 2 this year. Thanks be to God, I'm having my school holiday soon. It's not the children having holiday, the parents are having school holiday. Spiritual struggles that you and I go through, we need strength and help in our journey. Perhaps for some of us, we may be struggling with a hidden sin in our life. May we come to God for His forgiveness. God will forgive when we truly repent. Perhaps for some of us, angry with God at this moment due to certain situations in our life. And I pray they will learn to come back to God again. We take encouragement from the prophet Isaiah 41 verse 10. Isaiah encouraged the people of God, saying, "Don't you be afraid. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." The psalmist is clear. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Friends, God is our Ebenezer. Finally, hope expectantly for the return of our Shepherd King. And we are reminded today through the songs that are sung. This past few months, during my sabbatical, I spent time at Trinity College, and in the morning before my lectures start, I like to spend time at the TTC Chapel. And TTC Chapel has this beautiful stained glass, if you see on the right of the slide. I like this stained glass as I sit in quietness in the chapel. It is a story of the life of Jesus. At the bottom of the stained glass, his birth, his baptism, his ministry. But the full length, quite half the length of the stained glass, remind us, of course, of the cross, but of the coming return of our Shepherd King. This is what we should keep our eyes on, my friends. This is what our focus should be, the return of the King. May we say, often and always, the prayer, Maranatha. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus, come. And I pray we will live our life with hope. And in life, we need hope, isn't it? All of us, at every point in our life, we need hope. Speak to people without hope and you will find them depressed, disappointed, upset, angry, unsure what is ahead. Hope is ever so important, and I pray this will be our strong Christian hope that you and I will hold on to for dear life, that we will remember always the coming return of our King. Yes, tomorrow, wake up, please go to work, and so on. Don't say, hey, Pastor, say Jesus coming back. Never mind, don't need to go to work. No. Go on with our life. But the point is this, as we work, as we bring up our family, as we go through the struggles and routines of life, keep that right in front of us. You know, if there's only an iPad that is always, you know, like hooked onto our forehead, you know, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back, Jesus is coming back. Let us always remind us of that, because that will affect how you and I live our life today, knowing what is the end point, knowing what will eventually happen. God is coming back soon. You know, the psalmist hopes in God often. Psalm 42, 11. The psalmist who was cast down, who asked himself, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? And then he answers his own question, hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my salvation and my God. Another Psalm 62:5. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. Paul knows hope so well, isn't it? Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, patient, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. That's why Paul could pray for the church in Rome in Romans 15:13. This prayer for the church in Rome, may the God of hope, and my prayer for you also, my dear friends, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. We must abound in hope. And today I want to encourage us and remind us again, my friends, where there is God, there is hope. Could you tell it to your neighbor next to you? Where there is God. Such a powerful reminder, isn't it? Because sometimes when we struggle in life, or you and I, we tend to look for so many other things to hang on to. And then we turn to God. And then we are reminded, where there is God, there is hope. There is hope. So we need not fear. We need not have great disappointment. Because where there is God, there is hope. You see, my friends, for 9 months in a year, every Sunday, one particular football team will sing this song. Oh, no. He said, there you go again, Pastor. But I like the chorus of this song. It says here, walk on, walk walk on with a hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. It's true, my friends. Walk on with hope in your heart. And I hope Liverpool beat Man U, even though you got Jose Mourinho. My club will clobber you next year. No. But seriously, my friends, really, walk on. Walk on with hope in your heart. Because truly and surely and certainly, you will never walk alone. So let me close with the words, the beautiful words I find in Psalm 28. And this is also my prayer for you, O people of God. Walk closely with our Shepherd King. And I pray the Lord is the strength of his people. He is the saving refuge of his anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. So the Lord be your strength. The Lord be your saving refuge. The Lord be your salvation and your blessing. Indeed, he will be our Shepherd King, and he will carry us forever. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, you are our loving Shepherd King. Thank you, God. Indeed, Father, I pray for these, your beloved people. Lord, you always be the strength and hope of your people. Lord, you are our saving refuge. You are our salvation, our fortress. Thank you, Lord. Therefore, we will not fear because you are with us. Indeed, we will not walk alone because you are with us. Thank you, Lord. You are our shepherd, and you will carry us forever in your everlasting arms. Praise be to God. Thank you, Father. Indeed, salvation belongs to our God. Oh, praise be to God, and we, the redeemed people, shall be strong in purpose and in unity in the body of Christ. Salvation belongs to our God. Praise be to God. Church, would you stand with me? Invite the team to just lead us. Salvation belongs to our God as we end praising God, focusing on him. We, the redeemed, shall be strong.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and until